Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gents, we are back at you once again. All things covered, Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. This is a special show because Pat P was involved in a special event some days ago. The American Century Championship recap. This is what we do. Pat P is the golfer of the podcast. Yeah. I ain't really the golfer. I'm like the analyst. I sit and watch. I ride in the golf cart. But that's all I'm going to do. I might get out there and putt-putt every now and again, but Pat P be out there for real. And with that being said, he was a participant in the American Century Championship. Pat finished 40th overall, score of 15, finished sixth among NFL, active NFL players behind Rodgers, Thielen, Carr, Harrison Smith, Josh Allen, ahead of Pat Mahomes, who he called out, by the way, Travis Kelce, who he called out, by the way, Devontae Baker, Rudolph. Friday, Pat played with Charles Woodson and Rondae Barber. Saturday, he played with Devontae and David Carr. Sunday, he played with Charles Woodson and Ray Allen. As you guys know by now, Steph Curry won the entire event. Pat P, outstanding weekend of golf, of course. How did you feel about your performance?
Man, I feel horrible about my performance, first and foremost, but that's golf. You know, you have it's ebbs and flows in golf. Some days you have it, some days you don't. Yep, but that particular weekend, I did not have it at all. I couldn't find Why was it all?
Why were you off?
I mean, I couldn't find a putt and a needle in a haystack. You know, it was, I don't know. I just wasn't there, you know, for the most part. But I enjoyed my time. I will tell you this, Mac. I enjoyed my time being there. All the festivities, around all the fans. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Yeah, I want to compete and finish as high as possible. I did not do that this year. I played like hot garbage.
Garbage ain't good when it's hot, by the way.
Say it again.
I said garbage ain't good when it's hot.
Exactly. So that's how my game was. It was not good, man.
One thing I know about you, Pat P, you're at your best when you're fired up. You know what? I should have called you and just told you, man, they sleeping on you like PFF is sleeping on you on the football field. That's what I should have did. Some people think you sad. Nobody think you good, Pat P. You just a body on a golf course. Ain't nobody respecting you. Like PFF don't respect you. They don't respect you on a golf course.
That's what you should have did, man.
Yeah. Because one thing about when he get fired up, when he got something to challenge him, that's when he go to another level. He's already great. But in regards to seeing the being greater, challenge Pat P and tell him he can't do something. And watch what he's going to do. He's going to give you a proclamation and say, I'm going to do it. So that's I should have did that. I should have said that. Now, how impressive was Steph Curry?
Now, I haven't had an opportunity to watch any of Steph Curry playing, but I was literally, Mac, I kid you not, the hole in one that the world saw on Instagram that went viral, I was maybe about four holes away from it. And I kid you not, I was talking to my cat. I said, yo, Mike, that roar is like way too long and like way too loud. Because golf fans in Tahoe, they're golf fans, but they're not like the real golf fans like you see on TV that I clap for a 10-foot approach shot, or maybe a 5-foot approach shot. But a hole in one, like that's something you don't see. That's almost like a once in a lifetime type thing.
Facts.
And when the world was going on, because I was on hole number 5 at the time, par 5, and Steph did it on hole number 7 because I started on the back. And I'm like, Mike, that's a hole in one, bro. Like, that roar is way too long and way too loud, louder than any other roar that we ever heard on the course in our 5 years being together. And I kid you not, our scorekeeper was like, yep, Steph just made a hole in one on hole number 7. I was like, I told you, Mike. It was just incredible to see, not only an African American, win the golf tournament, but someone else less than a tennis player, than a basketball player. Like, I like seeing the football and the basketball players, compete at a high level and win it, because we're the guys that don't really have that eye-hand coordination that the pitchers, that the baseball players, that the tennis players may need. And golf is all predicated on hand and eye coordination, patience, dedication. And to see him do that coming off a long season was definitely incredible.
And he's still active. So it's not like he can dedicate time to the game of golf all year long. So that tells you how special he is. Let me ask you this question, Pat P. For you personally, do you see yourself winning this event, right? Winning the American Century Championship event when you retire?
Man, honestly, Mac, I definitely see that for myself. The visions and the dreams that I have for myself is, they always seem to come back into like a full circle. So
yeah,
I definitely seeing it happen. I don't know when, but I love golf so much. I dedicate, a lot of my time to golf. As you saw in my backyard, I got a par 3 in my backyard. So
there you go.
I love the game. So once I retire, I definitely feel like I can dedicate more time, because my kids, they're still at that age to where I still got to take them to ballerina, swim classes, where I just came from, dance classes and things like that. I'm still working to be, the best product of me on Sundays, so I still have a lot to juggle right now. But once I really, really have time to solely focus on the game of golf, I think I can definitely give it a shot, a run for his money, and possibly there.
No question. I believe it. As much as you love the game, especially whenever you're done playing football, you have more time to be on the golf course. So, there's no telling what type of limits you can reach when it's the gridiron is all said and done. And speaking of the gridiron, let's transition.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To the gridiron, right? A lot of things took place in the sports world last week. And of course, with football, there's a little bit of, you know, cornerback beef. And I was told if you're going to have beef, make sure you got some red wine. I don't know why red wine, because I don't drink, but I guess it goes with beef. So I guess these boys had some red wine to go with their beef last week in regards to Asante Samuel Sr. and Darrell Revis. I don't know if you really saw the back and forth, but basically Asante came out and said something in regards to Sauce Gardner and basically said Tariq Woolen had a better rookie year than Sauce Gardner. And he also stated the New York media plays a big part into the hype that a lot of guys get from New York when they're putting on and doing what they're supposed to do in their uniform. Darrell Revis jumped in, of course, being a former Jet, speaking up for Sauce Gardner. And those two guys went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Darius Slay, friend of the show who we had on a few times, shared that he thought cornerbacks talk more trash and hate on each other more than any other position. What are your thoughts on that in regards to cornerbacks sometimes having these back and forths with each other? Why are you smiling, by the way? But in regards to other positions, we don't really see that a lot. Quarterbacks clearly don't do it. You know, right. Running backs don't, wide receivers don't, but sometimes cornerbacks do. So what are your thoughts about that?
Man, it's crazy that you just asked me this question because I forget who it was. Somebody asked me this in Tahoe. It was like, man, why won't they ever do like a cornerback show, kind of how they did the Netflix with the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And it was like, man, it's just funny how, like, you know, quarterback and cornerbacks are so, they're just different. I'm like, we're not prima donnas, but we're definitely highly competitive towards one another. I don't know what it is. We can't work out together. It's some guys that have made work out with another DB.
Yeah.
We're highly competitive towards each other because we're competing against each other to see who's going to get that crown.
Yeah.
And I feel like receivers have a more of a persona of being prima donna-ish because they want the ball. We don't need the ball in our hands for that to happen. And I feel like that's all it is. We're just a version of a receiver of not being a prima donna because we don't need the ball in our hands, but we're just being super competitive towards each other. But the thing I do love about that is that it pushes us no matter what, like, because it's always going to be a new corner like Sauce right now. They're saying he has a crown of being the best corner. You don't think Jalen is working just as hard to be recrowned the best corner? You don't think Darius Slay is not working because you don't think he had an outstanding year this year? It's like, how this rookie just come on the scene? And the rookie did have an outstanding year. Not saying that at all. He had a great year. But you don't think that these guys who've been in the game as long as him not putting in that work to be recrowned? And that's the beauty of the game. And that's the beauty of the defensive backfield, in my opinion, is that we always pushing each other without kind of saying a word. Let the media kind of put it out there. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we're all striving to be the best. Because who we're guarding? Pass catchers. Guys who are getting all of the glory. Guys who are going to be in the end zone. Guys who are, because at the end of the day, we're kind of villains. So if we're able to keep them out of the end zone and keep the ball away from them, the more glory that we get.
No question. Why do you think DBs, big name DBs, cornerbacks or whatever, don't really work out together like some of the other positions?
Like I just said, Mac, like, we're all competitive.
Like, well, you weren't like that. You didn't mind people wanting to work out with you, and you still don't.
I still don't. But yeah. I feel like we're all competitive, and we don't want to give away our secrets. They don't give away things that they're doing to separate. I feel like that's the difference for
so me. What made you so comfortable in giving away some of your nuances that you...
Just because, like, I feel like the game is going to be played way long, you know, way long when I'm done. Like, I don't want to... If I have knowledge or a tool that I feel, or the person who's working out with me feel that can help them, I don't want to hold that back, because, like you always talk about, the Steeler way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is my first year being a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's been an incredible ride thus far. I can't wait to see where, you know, this journey takes me. But you hear about guys giving back to the rookie classes, to the young, to the youth, on trying to help them become better.
Mm-hmm.
You did that for me. That's all I known. When I got to Arizona, that's all the older guys did. And when it was my turn,
you do the same thing.
That's all I did. So exactly. So it's just like full circle. So, like, why not want to give back to the next generation to help make them better?
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, like, you've been around me long. Like, I'm a people's person. Like, I love people. Like, I love being around people. And if I can give a tool, a key, or a nugget to help that person become that much more successful, I'm going to give it to them.
Man, no question. And I think that's how it should be. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't think like that, and they're entitled to their thought process. I'm okay with the back and forth as long as they're respectful. Right. You know what I mean? Because, like you said, the way we go about our business being a cornerback, you gotta be kind of like an individual at times. Right. Because when you out there by yourself,
you out there by yourself.
You know how I feel, Pat P. You've done this a lot of times when that receiver comes to the line of scrimmage, and before the quarterback gets in his cadence, whatever the case may be, if you happen to look behind you, you don't see nobody.
Hey.
It feels like it's a one-on-one drill, but it's 11-on-11. And you got millions of people watching you. And when you give that touchdown, they ain't going to say, well, the other corner. No, they going to say the person who was covering got beat. So we have been indirectly taught to be individuals, because that's how our position.
Indirectly.
Indirectly. But that's how our position, that's what our position command of us. You know what I mean? Right. When you're out there on that island. And I think that is the mindset for most of the cornerbacks nowadays. I got to be an individual, and I got to be the best individual. And that's just a competitive spirit. So what we saw last week.
Yep. And to go back to the first part of your question about the New York media, I think that definitely has a part in it for sure. Mm-hmm. Just because you think about it, New York is what? 1-2 top media marketing.
It's top. Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I think that definitely has something to do with it. But lucky for them, they're in New York.
No question. No question. And you weren't in a big market like that. Arizona wasn't, but you made it just do. You became a household name. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, your play will speak for everything else. So I'm okay with it, long as it's respectful. No one is going outside the box, hitting nobody with no underblows and nothing like that, low blows. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Unfortunately for Asante and Darrell, they're retired. So, you know, they've lived their stories. Both guys have had great careers. Darrell will get into the Hall of Fame in a matter of a few weeks, to say the least. You know, Zon has had a Hall of Fame-like career along with championships. So hopefully he'll get an opportunity. Yeah, so both you can't sit here and say, oh, you talking trash about somebody else, but you were trash. No, both players were great, in my opinion. So it was healthy. It was nothing disrespectful. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with them being in a respectful debate. They're entitled to that because they experienced everything that they're talking about. Now, in regards to the current players, it's about your personal preference. If you think Sauce Gardner had a better year than Tariq Woolen, you can go ahead and make your case. Who cares? That's your personal opinion. Both guys were unbelievable in rookie year. You know, their rookie
year.
And they both made
rookie All-Pro.
All-Pro, yeah, exactly. So it is
rookie,
what it is. But
pro team, whatever
it happens every year. It happens. Yeah, it happens every year, but like I said, as long as it's respectful, and they're only talking about the game. You know what I mean? No one is being disrespectful and calling someone out about their play. I'm okay with it, man. So it is what it is, but what you got?
My question to you is, who had a better year in your opinion? And I know you a cerebral guy.
Okay. So this is how I'll answer this question.
Who had the better year out of those two guys?
Tariq Woodland made more plays.
Yep.
Sauce didn't make as many plays as Tariq Woodland, but he shined when he needed to shine the most.
Who?
Sauce. So when Sauce might have had only two interceptions, but I think he had a pass breakup at least every game, like 17 pass breakers or whatever the case may be. Tariq had five or six interceptions. He took the ball away. So that's why I said, of course, numbers don't lie. He made more plays. But when the spotlight was really on Sauce, he took advantage of it. He might have had a game where he didn't have an interception, but he made timely plays that led to their success. And also, too, you must factor this into the equation. Sauce, based on what he did, prevailed in a way that their defense was dominant.
Yes.
Seattle's defense wasn't as good as the Jets, but Seattle also had a better offense to rely on as well.
Right.
So that's another thing we got to factor in when you're trying to do this compare and contrast situation with those who play as Tariq Woodland and Sauce Gardner. Sauce went in a situation where, listen, I can't give up anything. We can't give up anything because our offense ain't probably going to score 17 points, 20 points.
Right.
Geno Smith was cooking last year. And you know how it is, Pat P. You've been on both sides of the stick. Being a part of a defense that got an offense that can score points, or being a part of a defense that our offense that can't really score.
Right.
That puts more pressure on you, right? When you know your offense can't really give you 21, 24 points easily like that.
No doubt about it.
So I think that's something, too, when you talk about the difference in pressure that both guys had to really deal with. Sauce had more pressure because his offense was sad. Quarterback play was sad. They couldn't do anything. But they both got what they were supposed to get in regards to recognition, in my opinion. All pro, rookie, pro, all everything you talked about. No question. No two guys. Now, Pat P, as you know, because you jumped on the senior rookie year, surprised people. But then the next year, where everybody was saying, oh, what? Let's see what he do for his sophomore, campaign, right?
Seven of them things second year.
So you got seven after having a heck of a year, your rookie year. You showed them year one wasn't a fluke, right?
Right.
You showed them year one wasn't a fluke. Now, I'm here. I am him. Now, as you know, we're going to be watching both of those guys like, okay, we saw what they did year one because you, Mike Tomlin, something I would never forget. The NFL does not care anything about your resume. It's about what are you doing for me right now? It's the here and now business.
Hey,
so,
Matt,
let's see. Yep.
Last year, man, Deontay Jones, bro, he was one of the kind, like you said, he was one of those coaches that found a way to push my buttons, like no matter what, because like you said earlier in the show, it's just find a way to piss me off. And I'll never forget, we played the Giants the first time, and he always pushed like me and Harry, he always put like little tabloids or something in our game plan folder where we could only see it.
Mm-hmm.
But in our game plan, because like me being a vet, like I'm looking through my shit. Like I'm watching, like I want to see all the nuggets. Cause you know, most people, because I remember my mom used to do this when we was growing up, used to put $5 in a book, just in a book and be like, read this book, I want a book report.
Yeah.
Like what was the book about? We were like, just lying and stuff. Didn't even know that she put $5 in the book report.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to my story, Coach, he used to always put like little nuggets, like sporadically, in the in my notes, in my game day notes. And the first Giant game, it was like, man, because that's when the Pro Bowl votes came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, man, nobody care about that. That you didn't make a Pro Bowl this year. Nobody remembers what happened last week. What you going to do this week?
Mm-hmm.
It was something in that sense. I was like, all right. And me and him, we got a great, great relationship. But he already knew like something that was going to push me. And like, man, we were seeing eye to eye all week. But when game day came around, like I remember that narrative. I was like, all right, I remember what you put in my game day. What's the name? And he just knew the buttons.
The push.
To push. You know what I mean? And for him to be able to do that, I think that was something that helped me, you know, be as successful as I was, you know, last year. And no, I can't wait to see, you know, what is going to happen, you know, what's going to happen going throughout the rest of my career, because I have people that's in my corner that's able to do that as well.
Hey, heck, you back with your former defensive back coach that was with you at LSU and with Grady, right?
Yep. And Grady used to do that as well.
Yeah. So you got to help him say, push them buttons, man, so we can see that dragon come out.
Yes, sir.
That dragon come out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But hey, Pat P, appreciate you joining me talking about the American Championship recap that you were a part of. American Century Championship recap that you're a part of. And of course, talking a little bit of ball as well, cornerback talk. And let us know what you think in regards to our comment section. Which rookie cornerback had the better rookie year? Tariq Woolen, Sauce Gardner. Both were great in their own right, but let us know what you think. We love to read your comments. And also, oftentimes we share them on our show. Man, until next time, as we always say to you guys and girls, tell a friend to tell a friend, and we'll see you when we see you.
Peace.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.